Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Sharp. Purdue will open training camp again with the roster at full strength following the return of All-American Rondell Moore. We'll break it all down. Our preview on Gold and Black Radio. Kyle Charters here with Tom Dienhart. We'll bring Ryan Newbert in just a couple of minutes. Tom, how's it sound? Football will return soon, less than a month away, in fact.
Yeah, boy, not that long ago, Kyle, we all thought this was a remote possibility. We're sort of pinning our hopes on a winter season, maybe a spring season, but so much has changed in recent weeks. Yes, we're going to get football in the fall and upwards of 9 games. So everybody's got to be excited. And now as we speak, Kyle, the Boilers are amping up their preparations for that season opener, October 24th, at home versus the mighty Iowa Hawkeyes.
We don't know the details of that schedule, but we know at least a rough outline, perhaps, that pads will go back on this week as they start to gear up toward that opener?
Yeah, you know, Jeff met with the media the day the Big Ten announced it was coming back, and he mentioned September 28th today as being a day where they would be in shells, and then September 30th, Wednesday, in full pads for the first time. Kyle, that's also the first day of the daily antigen testing, which is Part 10's health and safety protocol. So, you know, full padded practices could not take place until that daily testing was in place as well. So there's that. And, you know, Kyle, you've watched enough of this. Once you get pads on, that's when you really find out who your players are, right?
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, so let's talk a little bit about football because it feels like forever since we've talked, you know, just about the football aspect of football. I know you're releasing – your two-deep projection for offense and defense this week on the site goldenblack.com. As you do that, are you finding that there are many surprises to what you felt like this Purdue team would be?
You know, the offensive line is still very much a work in progress. Very few, I think, certainties there. We can all agree, right? Outside of the left tackle, the fifth-year senior from New Mexico, Grant Hermans. Sam Garvin's probably going to be the center, the redshirt junior. I think Cam Craig, the redshirt freshman, is going to have a starting spot in the guard slot somewhere. Where will that grad transfer from UTEP figure in, Kyle? Greg Long, is he going to be a guard? Is he going to be a tackle? He's an interesting dynamic. Mark Stickford, the big blocker from Carmel, Indiana. I think he probably has a shot to work on the interior somewhere. But long story short, a lot of questions there. Also wide receiver, too. David Bell, Rondell Moore. Kyle is not going to be many better 1-2 punches, but after that, you know, it's sort of a mixing and matching of trying to figure out how that rotation could work. But the long story short is if you're Jamarcus Shepherd, I mean, you have a lot of options there and a lot of competition, so it's going to be fun to watch that position work out.
How many of those projected number ones on the offensive line are solidly there? Just the 1, 2, 3, how many changes do you think there could be between now and next month?
Well, again, Hermans, Garvin at center. I really think Cam Craig's going to be a guard. And I'm going to throw Will Bramble in there. I guess I'll be surprised if he's not the number one right tackle. The one guard spot, yeah, like I said, maybe that's Mark Stickford. But it's not like any of these guys are you know, Anthony Munoz or Ron Yeri or Willie Rofe. So, again, the competition is going to be stiff. We all know they got to get better running the football, right? And Kyle, don't forget, Purdue's still looking for a number one quarterback. I mean, it probably doesn't get talked about enough, but, you know, Sinlar's gone. We all know that. But Plummer, O'Connell, Burton, Kyle, do you think Brom could play two quarterbacks early in the year? I mean, that's a possibility. So that's certainly a spot to watch. I think Plummer's got to be the considered number one guy. But, again, who knows? Again, competition is great. The coaches love it.
Yeah, I think Plummer has to be the number one guy, O'Connell number two. And, yes, I would not be shocked, Tom, if there's a scenario in which you see the backup play a little bit in the second quarter. We know that Brohm has not been shy about doing that and wanting to do that.
Yep.
And, you know, in his first year, I think at Purdue, he pointed out that he had done it a little bit at Western as well. So I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility unless one of those two guys, or three, I suppose, one of those three guys really just lights the world on fire here over the next month, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right, and it's hard to really do that, I think, just in training camp to wow that much. But who knows? Maybe it does happen, Kyle. And then, of course, later there tomorrow, I'm going to post my projected 2D for the defense, and boy, the questions there are probably even bigger than the offense when you consider there's a new coordinator, Bob Diaco, a new scheme. I think it's a 3-4 base. You know, we like the line. We still like the line. I like the potential of the guys up front, especially the tackles, Neal and Watts. Of course, Karloftis at one end spot. Who's going to be that other end? They've got some good options. And, Kyle, I think the back end, the secondary, could be very good. Tyler Coyle from UConn, the safety/linebacker. Giovanni Howard, the JC cornerback. They get DJ Johnson, the Iowa grad transfer corner, eligible. You got some veterans with Corey Trice. You know, Dedrick Mackey, Brandon Thieneman. So I think the back end there, the safeties and corners, could end up being maybe the best part of that defense.
Yeah, it'll look completely different than it did last year. Is that where Purdue needs the biggest gains, is in the secondary, and why they, you know, did so much to try and add some veterans to that group?
Yeah, you know, Kyle, you know, you watched a lot of football. It really all begins up front. Your secondary needs a good pass rush. You got to be good against the run. So that's where it starts. But there's no doubt the guys in the back end needed to get better as well. I think the two big talking points for this defense moving forward, the areas that have to get better, Kyle, you have to eliminate or at least reduce the number of big plays you're yielding. That defense leaked too many of those in recent years under Nick Holt. I think number two, you have to get better on third down. You got to get off the field, right? You need that big stop. And number three is just generating turnovers. The first year of the Brohm era, 2017, Purdue had a plus turnover margin, created a lot of turnovers. Just hasn't been there the last 2 years, buddy. They got to get better at generating turnovers. So those are three areas I know I'm certainly going to be watching.
Any idea if the Iowa transfer, DJ Johnson, will get immediately eligible here at Purdue? Any feel for that or anything that you've heard?
You know, we asked Jeff that when he spoke a week or so ago. He just said that the petition has been submitted to the NCAA, so now we watch and wait. I'm sure that'll be a question we ask the next time we get to talk to the coach. And, you know, Kyle, when all that unveiled or developed, I should say, most speculated they'd be surprised if he didn't get immediate eligibility given the circumstances under which he left Iowa. So we think it's probably going to get rubber stamped, but, hey, Kyle, you know, anytime you're dealing with the NCAA, you always have to expect the unexpected, too.
Yeah. All right, Tom, the big news last week was Rondale Moore returning, opting back in to Purdue. He will be out there on the field again. I mean, that's just such a crazy story, right, that you feel like a guy who is an All-American, one of the best, most impactful players in Purdue history who you thought was going to leave campus, having played 17 games in his career, suddenly now will be back in a Purdue uniform. I didn't think it was going to happen. He's an interesting guy because I think he really does weigh things out. I don't think he makes, you know, spur of the moment emotional type decisions. I think he's a very thoughtful, mature guy. I'm, you know, talking about watching him from a distance and having talked to him a little bit. But I didn't think he would do this. And then, you know, he made the announcement on the TV there that he would. It makes a huge difference to Purdue.
Oh, yeah, Christmas comes early, right, to West Lafayette and to the Brohm family to get number four dropped back into your lap. And like you, Kyle, I was surprised you returned as well. I think most people would be in that same camp, not thinking he had that much more to prove as a player, and why risk further injury? He had to get scared last year when he hurt that left hamstring against Minnesota in the fourth game of the season. So, again, I think he likes to compete, and he sees a chance to do that here, especially in the fall, Kyle. The fact this is the fall season is huge, I think. And I think that played a factor in it as well. And And yeah, you know, again, that having that dynamic, that big playability, teaming with a guy like David Bell, the Big Ten Freshman of the Year last year. I mean, imagine defenses, Kyle. You got to pick your poison. Who are you going to double team? Think of the opportunities that you create for other receivers, create for the new tight end. And you think, Kyle, with defenses fretting over those receivers, there should be plenty of room to run the football, too, for King Narue and company.
Yeah. I mean, we saw David Bell and Rondell Moore together for 3.5 games last year, but really David Bell wasn't David Bell yet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really – it'll be interesting to see those two together. I mean, that's quite a duo.
Yeah, again, it was fleeting last year. Like you said, Bell got hurt early. He got hurt in the TCU game, hurt his shoulder. Like you said, he never really blossomed until later after Moore was lost for the year. So we never really got to see both those guys fully torqued up physically playing together for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
So hopefully Purdue will get that for 9 games this year. And, boy, what quarterback wouldn't like that? Throw to those two guys.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Tom, it's nice to talk a little bit of football with you. We'll be able to do that again here over the next couple of months. That's good.
Amen, brother. It's good talking, Kyle.
All right. More, including that depth chart for offense and defense at the site, goldandblack.com. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring in Brian Newbert. We'll talk a little bit about football recruiting with him. We'll do that coming up next on Gold and Black Radio.
Your neighborhood bar. 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there, too, with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs, with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. I got my goldandblack.com t-shirts last week. Check it out today.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
This podcast is brought to you in part by JFQ Lending. With interest rates below 3%, there has never been a better time to lock in a low fixed interest rate with your mortgage. You'll never need to think about refinancing again. Sit it and forget it. And with JFQ Lending, you are guaranteed to get the highest level of customer service. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and more than 3,000 five-star reviews. Give Kyler a compliment and call today at 323-607-8802 or email Kyler directly at kcompleman, that's K-K-O-P-P-E-L-M-A-N, at jfqlending.com. JFQ Lending Incorporated, equal access lender, licensed in more than 40 states. www.jfqlending.com. Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics. Hey, Kyle Charters here with Brian Newbert, talking a little bit of actual sports this week on the podcast, which is always a fun thing to do. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm excellent. Well, that might be a stretch. I'm very good. so let's talk
average.
A little bit of yeah, better than average. Slightly better than average. Let's talk a little bit of football recruiting in this weird year. Purdue has 10 three-star commitments as of now in this class. You went out to see a couple of those offensive linemen on Friday, Zach Richards and Jalen Allstott Vanter. What are your thoughts on seeing those two fellas up close and personal?
Well, I only saw one of them play because Jalen Alsop-Vandeventer injured his MCL last week and will miss a couple weeks here. So he was just kind of standing there. But in him just standing there, it was pretty evident. Purdue has a sort of a prototypical modern-day offensive tackle physically. He's all of 6'7", probably 270 pounds, well hidden, a really, really well put together young man who, if he's as athletic and mobile as he's supposed to be, you know, I think Purdue's really got something there. He's only been playing football for 4 years, so he's still kind of improving as he goes, I guess. So I think, you know, just from the sheer eyeball test of a guy standing there with a brace on his knee, certainly looked good. Zach Richards is really, it's kind of hard, you know, live to assess an offensive guard. Yeah. He was playing tackle because of Alsop-Vandeventer being out, but looks like kind of your classic offensive guard, just a big barrel-chested guy who looks like he's pretty light on his feet, which I think is just as important nowadays as the whole, you know, size and strength component to it too, because so many people zone block, so many people trap block, so many people use their offensive linemen to pull in the running game. Purdue, that's where, you know, Purdue, I think, needs to make strides on its offensive line in terms of its recruiting and player development and whatnot, as much as it does the physicality at the line of scrimmage. It just needs to get a little bit more athletic because it's so important nowadays that guys get to their spots in a timely manner. And, you know, Zach Richards looks like he's pretty light on his feet, looks like he's got some mobility to him on top of being a, you know, a legit 300-pound type of guy. One day, I don't know if he's 300 pounds right now, but he's pretty close.
Yeah, I agree with you on the assessment. I mean, I think when Jeff Braun took over, while there weren't enough offensive linemen anyway, the ones that they had weren't really designed or didn't fit the design of the offense quite like he wanted. I mean, just you want more athletic guards. Pulling guards who miss
everything. Yeah.
Yeah, pulling guards who miss blocks downfield is not very helpful, so Purdue needs to get better in that fashion. So where's Purdue at with this class? I mean, 10 guys committed. I know that the number for you is always, you know, you talk about how that number's never quite set in stone. But where's this class at in terms of how many more guys are needed to fill it out?
Yeah, so they're at 10 right now, right?
Yeah, 10.
I think. Yeah, I honestly can't see this being more than five or six more guys, maybe. Obviously, it will depend on what happens, you know, kind of later in the process, if a bunch of scholarships open or anything like that. But they don't have really all that many positions they still need. Tight end is obviously one. Running back is one. Linebacker is still one. There's really not all that many. So I don't see Purdue. This is a small class anyway. So I don't really see Purdue adding a whole lot more to this. But the other dynamic here too is, you know, this transfer reform, as we've talked about before, coming down the pike, is going to compel coaches, I think, to leave some scholarships open every year because you don't know what's going to come your way on the transfer wire. Before, as recently as like 6 months ago, it was very different. It was, you know, football recruiting was going the way of, like, I always compared airlines overbooking flights. You want to make sure as many of your scholarships are filled at all times as possible. So you would see coaches maxing out their numbers by any means necessary. Now I think it's the opposite, and that's just kind of the nature of recruiting. It's so cyclical in terms of how it goes. And now this transfer reform, I think, is going to compel a lot of football coaches to leave scholarships open. And I think it's going to compel a lot of basketball coaches to oversign their scholarships, because in basketball, I think it's going to be an even bigger deal because it's such a transfer sport anyway. But I would think that Purdue here with this 2021 class signs five or six more guys, at least as it stands right now. If things change in terms of guys leaving Purdue's program or scholarships opening, whatever it may be, because the transfer door obviously goes two ways, that could be subject to change. The other part of this too is this is obviously a broken offseason, so guys who didn't get to camps – in the summer, guys who are still uncommitted. There are more uncommitted guys now than there probably ever have been at this time of year. All of those guys are going to play their senior seasons, provided their states are playing, and that is going to afford coaches the fresh tape, the fresh evaluations that they couldn't get this summer. So you're going to see more guys identified and recruited in the fall too, probably than ever before.
I'm thinking this as we're talking, but it seems almost impossible to me that the December signing date is going to stay where it is with teams playing, like actually playing games up until December 19th. Doesn't it seem pretty unlikely that then they would turn around and that signing day would what be 2-3 days later?
Yeah, it would seem like something they would consider doing away with. I don't really know what would change, because there has still been the same urgency on players' part to make their commitments, even if they haven't been able to make visits or anything like that, because the supply and demand element to recruiting is still in play. If you know you want to go to Northwestern, let's say, and Northwestern has 15 commitments but only 20 to give, you still have the same compulsion to take your spot. So guys are still committing. It's just a matter of the fact that they're doing it based off of less information and less experience than ever before. But that doesn't mean they're not committing. So you're going to have all these guys committed still in December who know what they're doing or are reasonably confident they know what they want to do. I don't really see why they shouldn't be able to sign if they're dead set on what they want to do. Now, the logistical issue of having a signing day right on top of your season perhaps is something that, you know, coaches don't want any part of, but coaches also want their classes locked up. The last thing they ever want to do is go into February,
no doubt,
you know, running the risk of getting burned at the last second by people and then not having an opportunity to fill that spot. In December, if you lose a guy the day before the early signing date, you still have the late signing date to fill that spot if you have the capability to do so. Now, if you just make it February like it was for years and years and years, everybody's got their back to the wall. And all these coaches nowadays are conditioned for the early signing period. So they want that certainty right away. They want their whole class committed by the end of the summer, damn near, and they want it all signed by December. If they have to follow a couple stragglers or a couple really elite guys into January, they will do that. But those are guys that if you don't get them, it doesn't change anything because you already have 90% of your class signed. The NCAA will do what the coaches want it to do. And what the coaches will want it to do here, I would imagine, would be to keep the December signing date in place because coaches still want that certainty. The fact that these kids haven't been able to take visits and coaches haven't been able to go visit these players, assuming that remains to be the case, which it will because the dead period runs through January. Now, that's not coaches' problem. You know, that's the kids' problem. The coaches still want the dude signed, and I would imagine that is exactly the approach the coaches will take to all of this. If they have to deal with a signing day right after they got done playing, I think they will be more than willing to do that. Personally, that's my opinion anyway.
Yeah. And we've talked about before how we feel like there could be more shuffling of the deck, guys decommitting and going elsewhere. I would imagine that will be even
more reason for coaches to want that stuff locked down in December. Yep.
Right. Yeah, I mean, January into February, kids will be going everywhere if they're not signed, and there's a chance for coaches to reevaluate and all that sort of thing. So what is Purdue doing, or what should it be doing, or what can it do to sort of set itself apart right now when, you know, everybody's sort of stuck in this scenario in which they're just recruiting from afar?
And get Rondell Moore to generate a bunch of really big plays that'll go viral on Twitter. You know, Rondell Moore was such a big part of the buzz that Purdue generated early on after Jeff Brohm took over here. That, you know, he's Purdue's most captivating player nationally. He's its most viral player, and that stuff matters nowadays. He was such a big part of Purdue's national brand, so to speak, and what he meant to recruiting. As coaches would say back in 2018, they would go into schools and they would get asked about Rondell Moore and stuff like that. He was such a big part. Without Rondell Moore, there's no David Bell at Purdue. you know?
Yeah.
And that's just such a big part of what has gotten Purdue to the level of recruiting it's enjoyed here the last couple of years. Continuing on with that, just kind of keeping at the forefront of the conversation, taking advantage of, you know, this is going to be a very unconventional year, obviously, and I think the outcomes are going to be as randomized as ever, as I think last weekend in college football probably illustrated. But I think if you have some success this year and you continue to show people that you're on your way up and not plateauing or on your way down, I think that would be that would go a long way to, you know, solidifying your position in the recruiting world too. You've gotten as favorable a schedule draw as you probably could have realistically hoped for. All the dynamics this season in terms of, as I mentioned, the randomized outcomes, that goes both ways too. I mean, that applies to everyone. So you could benefit from that just as much as you can get stung by it. But Purdue goes into a season with one AP top 25 team on its schedule, which I don't, has that ever happened before? I mean, that's number 19, Wisconsin is the only ranked team on Purdue's schedule going into a season. That's an opportunity. You know what I mean? And get Rondell Moore back. You have an opportunity to have the sort of offense that can be pretty potent. You have significant questions all across the board, but you have opportunity in front of you. Taking advantage of that opportunity from a one loss perspective would go a long way toward really helping Purdue in recruiting. After all of that's gone into this recruiting cycle, hasn't helped Purdue. Not having kids on campus applies to everyone, but I think Purdue does an especially good job on campus visits, so I think that hurt Purdue probably a little bit more than other people. But winning is the cure to a lot of things.
Right. All right, Brian, out of time. Thanks, man.
Yep, no problem.
And we'll have much more on the site, football recruiting and more, goldandblack.com. All right, we need to take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this podcast. It's coming up next on Gold and Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text, 765-412-5217, or email me at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer-inspired cocktails and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And much more on the site as we gear up toward an actual football season. Be sure to visit goldandblack.com. More on football recruiting there as well. All right, that'll do it for our podcast for this week. Thanks to our sponsors, Follett's, the Sixth Street Dive, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Homefield Apparel, East End Grill, JFQ Lending, and Charters Team at RE/MAX Ability Plus. We'll be back 10 o'clock next Monday for our next drop. For Tom Deanhart and Brian Newbert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.